Okay, we're on page 1104. What we're learning so far is the Torah speaks about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, the sustenance, how much it's going to produce, or the interpretation that it'll be first every single Jew. But then, as the last pasuk we were learning last week, it says, "Vayishman Yeshurin," but sometimes the Yidden became too big. Okay, and then Shamanta Visa Kasisa, then they started rebelling against Hashem, and it wasn't good anymore. Okay, so we're up to Pasuk Tezayin, 1104, second line. Yaknihu Bizarim, they would provoke Hashem's jealousy with strangers, meaning by dealing with strangers. Beseyaves, with abominations, Yach Isu, they would get him angry. So basically Hashem says, what happens when the Jews, Chas V'Shalom, have it too good? What happens a lot of times is the Jews start making problems. So they get God jealous with foreign things. They got God angry with abominations, with the despicable things, and so on and so forth. So the question is like this. The Daskin Balatesis brings down an interesting, I read it somewhere else about the Rambam Gamliel, but he brings it down about the Rav Shimon. We mentioned this not long ago, that in the Aseres HaDibros, it says Hashem is a jealous God. Don't have any other gods? Ki Hashem Elokecha Kelkanahu. Hashem is a very jealous God. So the person asking the Rambam Gamliel or Rav Shimon, what does it mean God is jealous? For what is he jealous? Hashem is everything, has everything, is everything, but what is he jealous for? So Rav Shimon answered, or Rav Gamliel answered him, a marshal of a guy had a very beautiful wife, and yet he dumped her for another wife. So it says, if the second wife would be more beautiful, better, everything than the first wife, of course, the husband's upset, but he can understand why they did it. The wife can understand why they did it. But if the husband exchanges the wife for somebody uglier and stupider and worse midas and everything than the first wife, that makes him angry. He said, I'm upset with both, but at least I can understand why you did it. But you go for somebody else that's much worse than me. Like, so it says the same thing that Shimon and Gamliel answered him. You know, I am your God. So you want to get me for somebody better you think is better? Fine. You're going to exchange me for these things. So of course Hashem gets jealous and Hashem gets angry because now. Oh, what does this mean now? In fact, the other week in Shul, they asked me, what does it mean, God gets angry? What does it mean God gets jealous? God gets angry and they're not here tonight. Anyway, it's always like that. But what does it mean, Taka, that Hashem gets angry, Hashem gets jealous, Hashem doesn't have a body or anything that could get jealous and not jealous? What does it mean? So explanation is, yeah, of course Hashem doesn't have a body and Hashem doesn't get angry physically and Hashem doesn't get jealous. But again, Torah speaks in human terms. In order for us to understand a little bit about Hashem, the Torah always speaks, the Gemara says, Dibur Torah Koloshim B'nei Adam. The Torah, when it says Yad Hashem, the hand of God, the foot of God, the anger of, you know, it all speaks in human terms because then we can understand it a little bit. What happens when a person gets angry? When a person gets angry, as we know, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you get angry, don't talk. Huh? Just be quiet. Don't talk. Why? So it says that anger is like being drunk. When you're drunk, you have no control over yourself, what you say, what you do, you just don't control yourself, you're drunk. Anger is even more. When a person gets angry, they can't control themselves. That means they don't do things which are normally done. When the expression of getting Hashem angry by worshipping idols, we're learning now about God getting angry and you walk in. Wow.
That's very scary. God forbid God gets angry.
Oh, it's a thing.
At coins. Thank God we are not...
No, here he's talking about it, the Jews, but... Okay, so what happens when a person's angry? When a person's angry, they lose control over themselves. Okay? Therefore it says, what you say when you're angry, you'll never be able to take back. Because like this, you know, people would love to tell people something, but they control themselves. When you get angry and you speak, it means you lose total control over yourself. And therefore, there's no politics involved with you're holding back, you know, this. What's on your head, what's on your heart, you're gonna say it. Like you're, and you're drunk. Like the Gemara said, Nichnas Yayin Yotzasod. All secrets come out when you're drunk. When a person's angry, it's mamishly drunk. What does it mean when you say the expression Hashem gets angry? When the Jews do things which are against the will of Hashem, Hashem, so to speak, that's why the Gemara is not, God forbid, loses control. But to understand it in human terms, Hashem will behave to the Jews not in the normal way of behaving to them. In other words, like this, we're the chosen nation, we're God's kids, we're, you know, everything about Hashem. When we get God angry, it means we cause Hashem to do things that he normally doesn't do. This is similar to the concept. It says that the time of exile, is the time of sleep when people dream. It's also called the time of pregnancy. Because what is the concept of dreams and pregnancy have a similarity, by the way? Pregnancy, normally when a baby exists, the head is above the rest of the body. In fetal position, the head and the feet are around the same position. It's like the kid's bent over. Which means that what's on top is at the bottom, what's on bottom is on the top. It's a whole mix-up. What happens when a person dreams? You could also dream things that are so foolish, things that can't exist. In fact, the Gemara says, even though the expression in the Gemara is you don't dream it, the Gemara says, Pila Bakuva Damachta, an elephant going through the eye of a needle. So the Gemara says, even that you can't dream, but it says in Svarim, and that brings it down from Svarim, that if you think about it during the day, you could even dream about that at night. You can dream about that at night. Which means, what happens in a dream? In a dream, crazy things that normally can't happen, happen. Just like in pregnancy, the baby's in fetal position, that the head and the feet, it's all the same level. So what happens during the time of exile? Everything, the whole world's topsy-turvy. The Jews are supposed to be God's children at the bottom. The wicked people are on top. It's a whole mishmash. Things happen that normally don't happen. Things that happen normally don't happen. That happens when a person gets angry. When a person gets angry, you'll respond in a way more than what the person deserves. It says in parenting books, by the way, don't, God forbid, do this at home because you'll end up in court. But it said when parents used to hit kids, the shame is not there. But when parents, it says, never hit your kid when you're angry. Never hit the kid when you're angry. Why? Because you're going to hit them more than they deserve. Because you lose control. You lose control. So you're going to do things that are totally irrational. You're going to punish the person more than the person really deserves. Like, that's what anger is in human terms. So when you're speaking about Hashem getting angry, it doesn't, God forbid, mean he gets angry like we get angry. Hashem is not a person that gets angry. When we sin, we cause Hashem to do things that normally will never be done like this. That's the concept of anger when we speak about God getting angry. What does mean getting God jealous? Yaknihu bizarim. God will become jealous with all these foreign things. There's a very interesting chazal. Our sages tell us, Sina machmas kina ein lo takona. Brought down Chassidus many times. Hatred that comes from jealousy can never be rectified. All hatred could be rectified. For instance, if I hate you because you hit me. Okay? So when you stop hitting me, I have no reason to hate you anymore. Or you, like they said, sticks in the, you call me names, okay? So I hate you because you call me names. You stop calling me names, I'm not going to hate you anymore because the cause and effect. The effect is because you do certain things. You stop doing it, I'm not going to be angry anymore. But that's the normal way of it happening. Jealousy is so deeply rooted that even when the court, there, you can't even say, why am I jealous of them?
Why, if they lose that thing that you're jealous of?
No, it still stays. The Rebbe Rashab explains, I think it's a chot, that sin of machmas kina, when you're jealous of the person, it's not what they do. You hate the person to the core. Just think about it. You're jealous of a certain because they have a lot of money. They lose all the money, you're still going to be jealous that they had the money. Jealousy is so deeply rooted that the anger and the hatred is much deeper than regular thing. It says, Yaknihu bizarim, they would provoke his jealousy with strangers, okay? Hashem is going to create, we're creating that, by the way, this level of deep anger and of the Jewish people for doing what they're doing.
Where does it come from, such a sinner?
It's a very deeply rooted sinner. It comes from the essence. Chassidus explains, it comes from the essence of the person. It doesn't make, there's no rationale in it. There is no rationale of hatred of jealousy.
Like the going to Jews, the jealousy of going to the Jews?
Yeah. The hatred of going to Jews is not explained in anything whatsoever.
And do you think that people can control it? Because I was having this discussion with my kids, and I said, you should be able to control it. Like, you
know, anger?
No, about jealousy. Like, you know, my daughter was telling me, you know, someone gets an A, and then you have studied as much as them, and they cheated. And she said, I really became jealous that she got the A, and I didn't. And I said, you know, you have to control your jealousy, because, you know, as...
That jealousy is the wrong word over there.
She said, I just got jealous.
It's a wrong word that they used. Because somebody cheated and got a better mark, you're jealous of them. So you could have done the same thing.
She don't want to.
So then you're not jealous. Now, what Torah tells us, though, by the way, and this we learned a number of times in various different classes, including this class, there's an expression in Chazal, the Rambam brings it down, but the question what the source of the Rambam is, okay? Anger is like worshipping idols. The Gemara says, not the Gemara, whatever the source of the Rambam is. Kol ha-koyis, kilo eved aved azara. Whoever gets angry is like worshipping idols.
But God gets angry, God gets jealous.
God doesn't get angry. I'm telling you, it's not the concept of anger like you and I get angry.
But you are explaining it. If someone is hearing it and doesn't know the explanation, that's what all the Jews are reading, and that's what they're understanding. Anger.
It says in the Torah, don't do work on Shabbat, right? Now, if somebody reads that without learning beyond that, they're going to think you can't go to work. Okay, now, is that what it means? No. There's kind of what we're called creativity. The Torah says, keep kosher. Well, that's not what the Torah says, but let's say the Torah says, you have to eat kosher. What's kosher? Who, what, when, where? So anytime you have things, you have to learn what they mean. Because otherwise, the book doesn't make sense by itself. The whole book of Bereishis, yeah, would make a great, reality show movie. The whole Torah, from the beginning of the book, through the whole first book, one-fifth of the whole Torah book, is full of dysfunctional families. If you take it face value, the whole book of Genesis. You have Cain killing Abel, yeah? Noach and his kids, what they did to him. And then you have Avram got this kid Yishmol, throws him out of the house, and Yitzchok has an Esav, and then he wants to kill his kid, and then Yosef and his brothers, and there's jealousy going on, and this guy steals, Yaakov steals the firstborn right from, now, you know, the whole book, if you take it, Bible critic book, yeah, the whole thing doesn't make sense. When you learn what it means as the explanation of the oral Torah, everything makes sense. Everything falls into place. Everything is a part of a master plan of the world. But anyway, let's get back here. Anger is one of the worst traits because the Gemara says like worshipping idols. Why is it worshipping idols? We learned it at great length, but in a nutshell, if you believe in God, and if you believe God runs the world, and if you believe God is good, and the essence of good, the nature of good is to do good. Correct? Therefore, just base A equals B equals C, like XY square, whatever you want to call it, whatever that stuff is. Okay. Bottom line is, if you believe in God, that means He is all good. Then you believe whatever God does is good. Therefore, why does the person get angry? He gets angry because why did you do this to me? Right? Why did you steal my money? Why did you hit me? Why did you cheat me? Why did you, whatever, yeah? By the Persians. Why didn't you invite me to the wedding? Jealousy for 3 years. Personally, when I don't get invited, I say, thank God. I don't have to go. I just have to feel a little guilty for not going. I don't gonna go. It's a machaya. And this, I hear about this a lot there. You don't get invited, you invited this guy, not that guy, and the outlaws, and the in-laws, and this, and that. Okay, but people get angry from it. Yeah, they don't talk to each other for 4 years. Sometimes it's better that way. But so what happens? But if a person believes that this is from God, what happened to me is from God is, and whatever God does is good. So obviously it's good. So why am I getting angry? I'm getting angry because it shouldn't have happened to me. In other words, God says it should happen to you, and it's good. And I come along and say, you know, it's no good and shouldn't have happened to me. That's why you get angry. So therefore, the expression of sages is, it's like worshipping idols. How do you control anger? Anger is controllable. Today, the people pay thousands of dollars to go to anger management. All they have to do is learn Torah for free, and they get better anger management for free. How do you get anger management? It's very simple. God created a human being. Not animals. Human being with the ability, and this is the key to life. Moach shalit al halev. The mind controls the heart. The nature of a human being, they could choose not to, like a lot of people do. But if you're a human being, you have the natural inborn ability that your mind controls the heart. So if your mind starts telling about the anger, why are you getting angry? It's really good, even though I don't understand it, but it's still good because it's coming from God, and God is good, and the nature of good to do good, so it's got to be good. So why am I getting angry? So you can control any, even by the way, according to Taito, by the way, it's more difficult, obviously. But in the medical field, they'll tell you sometimes it's impossible to control an addiction, whatever the addiction is. It could be whiskey, alcohol, cigarettes, drug, whatever it is. According to Taylor, there's no such thing. No matter how far down the person is, they have the ability to control themselves. If they want. If they want, they have the ability to control themselves.
But in the addiction world, I'm saying it's just that you have to watch yourself forever.
I understand. But you could. You could do it.
They agree that they
so, what it means is, when the Jews behave in a negative way, that they're not doing what Hashem wants them to do, so God says, what are you doing? What do you mean I'm getting angry? God doesn't get angry. What it means is, you, consequences, by the way, are forcing me to behave to you in a not normal way. In a non-loving, obviously, which seems to be a non-loving way, when in reality, by the way, even when God gets angry at us, it's out of love. It's out of love. Because God only loves us. It appears. Or like, I mean, again, you can't use those dirty words today, hitting a child. But in Hasidic and Kabbalah philosophy, Ha'av ha'maka is b'nai, a father who hits the child, yeah? So in the kid's eyes, it's cruel, wicked, gvuras, strictness, severity. Chassidus explains, a father who hits a son, it's really love. But you could show love with open love, and you can show love with hitting love. Because if it wouldn't be their kid, if they wouldn't love the kid, they wouldn't hit him. They wouldn't discipline the kid. It's not their kid, they don't care. Their kid, they discipline. And the contrary, because Hashem loves us, He punishes us, and we're going to see later in the Psukim, that God only destroys buildings. He doesn't destroy the nation. Throughout history, you know how many times God got angry at us? But all He did was destroy. The Jewish people are still here. We're still here. The temple's not here. This is not here. That's not here. The buildings are destroyed. But even when God punishes us, it's still out of love. But the Pasuk here is saying like this. When you have too much good, you're going to rebel, because having it too good, like we learned last week, causes you to rebel. Then what's going to happen, you're going to forget about God. You deserted God that made you. So then he says you're going to provoke jealousy with strangers. Again, what does jealousy mean? It's going to be a deeply rooted, not acting to you the normal way that Hashem would act. They would anger him with abominations. And he says, why? Because Yizbuchu, the Jews were being slaughtered sacrifices. La Shadim lo alaka, to demons, the Shadim, the demons that don't have any power. Elokim lo yudaum, gods that you don't even know about. It's all new, this is all new stuff, the gods. Because from the beginning of creation was only Hashem. The gods came much later. And he says, what gets God angry? Because, in other words, normally, Hashem wants to bless the Jews. When they sin, they're forcing Hashem not to do it. And it's interesting. In education, which is, by the way God deals with us, He educates us, Hashem educates us. The problem is we don't listen in class. Hashem, the proper way of education, in parenting, I'm saying, is not punishing a kid. You never punish a kid. There's reward and consequences for the kid's actions. Okay? If a kid misbehaves, you don't punish the kid. The kid is forcing consequences that they themselves brought upon themselves. I'll give you a very simple example. Kids play with toys. And this, by the way, from the youngest of ages. And God deals with us like we're babies, because we are. We're just big babies. A child plays with toys. The parent says, put away the toys. Okay, dinner time, right? Okay, night time, put away the toys. The kid doesn't put away the toys. What else is there? So there's two responses to that. One way of responding, which is the incorrect way, is the parent tells the child, okay, I'm punishing you. You cannot have the toys anymore. That's one way of doing it, which is not the proper way of doing it. Because then the parent is punishing and the parent is mean. Because then the parents are punishing. You tell the kid, there's no problem. You don't put away the toys, you won't have toys to play with. In other words, there's a consequence. You don't put away the toy, then you won't have the toys to. I'm not doing anything. The parent doesn't do a thing. I'm not punishing you. You have to be responsible for your actions to know that there's reward and consequence, not reward and punishment. Reward and consequences based on what you did, you're causing it to happen. It's not the parent. The parents are not doing anything over here. You are forcing yourself that you won't have toys to play with. There's by Torah, it's not Einish. It's called Einish. But it's consequences. Hashem says, you don't behave, you make me angry. You make me jealous. I'm not getting angry at you. What does the pasuk say over here? They provoke his jealousy. That means the Jews cause him. They would anger him. It's not Hashem getting angry. It's the consequences of our behavior that gets God angry.
By a kid, he doesn't clean up. He's not going to have toys. Toys won't be ready to play with him unless he cleans up for them next time. But by a person, how do you? His panos is not going to. It's a consequence, right? How's he? How does it?
Oh, it's not who says the punish. He has to daven to Hashem. He has to do things. Make a case.
Example: how do you go back and see where's your confidence? I'm saying just keep it simple.
You tell a kid, you don't eat. You put down dinner. You don't eat. So you tell the kid, okay, you're going to be hungry. This is for dinner. You eat it good. You don't eat it. There's a consequence. What's the consequence? You're going to be hungry. Not me. It's nothing to do with me. What are you talking? What's wrong?
What is it about Parnassa?
No, Parnassa is a whole different story. A person does that.
What did he say to punish you with that? Or
God's not saying over here, you're not going to have Parnassa. He's not punishing us like that. Okay, then it says like this. It's not a question of consequences.
No, that somebody deserves to get that as a punishment.
Right? Who says it's punishment?
It is a punishment.
Who says? Maybe, first of all, which is a curse. Besides that, it's true, you should know. Maybe, the person... Okay, let me tell you very briefly. I don't want to get way off this. Rabbi Shua ben Levi once met Eliyahu HaNavi. Don't ask me how. He used to meet Eliyahu HaNavi in the street. How? I don't know. I never met him in the street. I don't even see him when he comes to a bris. Anyway, but these guys used to see him pretty often. He used to come to yeshiva, learn with them. I don't know what the heck they used to do. So, he sees Eliyahu HaNavi running. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm in a mission. Okay? He said, I want to come with you. He said, no, you're not coming with me. So why not? Because you guys are blind, you don't know what you're seeing, and you really won't get anything what I'm doing. Okay? He says, no, I promise you I won't say a word. So he says, okay, you can come to me the second you open your mouth and say, why? You're out. So there's three stories. He went to a city, they treated him awful, terrible, they threw him out, they didn't give him any place to sleep. He came out, Eliyahu HaNavi came out of the city and gave a bracha, they should all be leaders. Shulman Levi said, what is he, crazy, the guy? Anyway, they went to another city, brought him in, hospitality, unbelievable, everything was great. He left the city, Eliyahu HaNavi davened, only one should be a leader. He said, what is this guy's crazy, he's not normal. But he didn't say anything. Then they went to this old couple, in the 90s, old couple. The only possession they had was a cow. Okay? The family gave him the last piece of bread to them to eat. Eliyahu HaNavi gets up in the middle of the night, and the only possession there was a cow, yeah? Eliyahu HaNavi gets up in the middle of the night, and davens the cow should die.
What is this?
Is a story? No, it's Eliyahu HaNavi, story in the Gemara. So Eliyahu HaNavi davens that the cow should die. This already blew his mind. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, this is retarded. Okay? What are you, crazy? Look what they did, they brought us in it. Okay, so he said, okay, out. That's why, but, I'll show you how stupid you are. The way we see things. He says, okay, the main story is the third one. First, the story, he said, the biggest curse of a city is when everybody's a leader. You know, like in Israel, the Knesset, the guys have 120 presidents. It's the worst thing. One leader is a proud boy. He said, yeah, but the month. So Leonov said to him like this. That night, the wife was supposed to die. It was destined in heaven, the wife died. I exchanged her death for the cow. No, tell me, I did good or bad? Okay. How do we know what the person's lack of panasa is? Why? We don't see a whole picture. Our problem is that we see the now and the here. God doesn't see the now and the here. God sees the whole general picture of the entire world from the beginning of time to the end of time. God sees a whole different picture. Okay? What happens if God says to somebody, you know what? And in God's mind, you either are very wealthy, but you'll be very sick, or else you'll be healthy with less parnassah. Yeah? Do we know? We don't know.
How do you know when it's a consequence?
Parnassah is not a consequence. Behavior has consequences. Why does God give this person a lot of money and this person less money and this person no money? That's God's business. Do I know?
No.
There's no consequences there.
What things do you see as consequence? Like we're saying in the Chumash.
When you do mitzvahs, there's reward. When you do sins, there are consequences. There are consequences. It's not punishment.
No,
consequences and reward can only be... It's not that somebody has a reward and that's why they're rich, or does somebody have punishment for the poor. I don't know.
So that you never know if it could be something.
That you'll never know.
Something else, but we're
correct. We don't know.
Are a consequence. What things can you see clearly as a consequence?
We don't always see it right away. Either.
Sometimes.
That's how we judge ourselves.
I'm going to say one last thing, then we're moving on. Yosef sold the brothers sold Yosef as a slave. Yeah? You know the story? Yosef sold, the brothers sold Joseph as, okay. Was that good or bad?
Turned out to be amazing.
Not turned out. Good or bad?
Bad.
Huh? Well, at least he guessed the right answer. Is it good or bad what they did?
They wanted to kill him, so instead they sold him, so it was a good thing.
They wanted to kill him. They came up with an idea. We'll sell him instead. So it was a good thing compared to death. You know, because of the brothers selling Yosef, 10 brothers were involved in the sale. Because Binyamin wasn't there and Yosef wasn't there. Everybody else was there.
Martyrs.
Huh? The 10 martyrs in the time of the destruction of Beis Hamikdash were killed because of the 10 brothers that sold Yosef. Because the pasuk says, if you kidnap somebody, you sell him. The Torah says clearly, if you kidnap somebody and you sell him, it's capital punishment. Okay? So 10 martyrs died thousands of years later because of what the brothers did. So seemingly it's bad. But at the end of Chumash Bereishis, after Yaakov died and the brothers were afraid that Yosef's not going to treat them properly anymore, so Yosef says to the brothers, Atem chashavtem alai ra, Elokim chashava letova. That's the pasuk says. You guys thought evil against me. You wanted to kill me. You wanted to sell me as a slave. And God said it's good. Elokim chashava l'toiva. God considered it good. Which means as follows. Not only, Yosef's telling to the brothers, by the way, it's not only that the outcome of the bad was good. Yosef didn't say that. Elokim chashava l'toiva. What you guys did was good. So why were they punished? Because they did something they were not allowed to do. Hashem did good. From Hashem's perspective, this is part of the master plan. The Jews went down to Egypt, they were taken care of in Egypt for the 210 years because of Yosef. The world was saved because of Yosef. Why were the brothers punished then? Because they didn't know that. And what they did was forbidden. And that's what he's saying. Okay. So they bring sacrifices, lashedim le'a laka, to these demons that not only, what's the issue with demons? Demons are not only not good, but they're dangerous. Then they were banned from the face of the earth. And they all come, and this evil, and they're all evil, and this is what the people are sacrificing to. You ignored the rock who gave birth to you, and you forgot the God who brought you forth. Basically, God is saying, I am the one that gave birth to you, I made you exist in the world, and you're spitting in my face. That says, where is the Hakadosh Hatev? Where is the recognition of the good that I did for you? You know, it's very interesting. In human nature, when you do good for somebody, somehow they seem to forget it very quickly. you do bad for somebody, they will never, ever, ever forget it. That's what goes on constantly in the world. Anybody in public office would know that. In the rabbinate, in the teaching, or anybody in this business.
No good deed goes...
No good deed. Somebody once said, at least, when they used to... there was one great tzaddik, when he did a favor for somebody, he would always put a little pebble. As he brought him a dinner, he always put a little pebble on it and gave it to him. Every time he did somebody a favor, he put a little pebble. The guy said to him, why? He says, because eventually you're going to repay me with evil. So all I'm asking you, throw the little rocks at me, not the big ones. I know for sure you're going to throw rocks at me eventually. But at least throw the little rocks at me instead of the big ones. That's what Hashem says. Where's the recognition for everything I did? Okay. Okay, next pasuk. Vayar Hashem vayinatz. Hashem will see and be provoked by your anger. Mikaz banov ubenesov, by the anger of his sons and children. Now, what does this mean, sons and children? Because in Hebrew, banov, children, is male and female. In Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, when you speak boys and girls together, you use the plural word of the masculine. Here it says, banov ubenesov. Okay? Now he said, the Ramban explains over here, what he brings it down at the bottom. The Ramban explains, what does this mean? Before the destruction of the first temple, which was destroyed because of idol worshipping, the women were more pursuing idol worshipping than the men were. So because of that, and here we're talking about idol worshipping, okay, which means, and by the way, just to add to this a little bit, idol worshipping that the Torah is speaking about over here is not only idols. Now you have what's called American Idol. You know, you got that stuff. But there's a lot of idols that we don't even realize are idols. People worship what's called the golden calf. People worship money.
Oranges in the newspaper.
Oranges in the newspaper, yeah. People worship money. People worship sports. People worship fashions. People worship their own body. You have body people that are in the gym 12 hours a day? I'm not joking.
No.
They want to get the money's worth of the membership, I guess. To leave it to the Jews. They're worshiping other things. These are all gods, by the way. If you worship sports, so sports is your god. Clothing is your god. Money is cars. I mean, you have a million things that people are worshipping today. What?
Property.
Everything that people worship. Now, what's defined worship? It's interesting. How do you call if I'm worshipping it or not?
Controls.
Huh?
If it controls you.
It controls you. And it goes even further than that. The purpose of making a living, what's the ultimate goal in Torah and Mitzvahs, okay? To have a family leading a life of Torah and Mitzvahs. That's the ideal concept of Yiddishkeit, right? To be serving Torah and Mitzvahs. Now, if making a living, you're so busy making a living, you ignore your family, so that's called worshipping the business. Because then that's more important than your family. That's more important than what you should be doing. So that's called idol worshipping. What the Torah is speaking over here is not bowing down to the rocks and the stones of the olden, of yesteryear. The Torah is speaking any time a person puts something more important than what the person is supposed to be doing, that's called idol worshipping. It could be anything. People worship their phones today. People worship the internet. You know how they tell you if you're addicted to the phone? I saw this somewhere. How do you know if you're addicted to your iPhone or whatever? If the second you wake up in the morning, you already touch your phone. So when you wake up in the morning, You know, many people who, phone, maybe they missed it. Maybe the world was destroyed and they missed it. Or maybe, I don't know what happened. Maybe Mashiach came and they missed it. I don't know. The first thing they take, that means you're addicted to it.
Touch your phone before Negavas.
Yeah, it's a question. Touching the phone before Negavas. It might be Pikuach Nefesh, so maybe you could.
That's a good sign.
I'll give you an example. It's a very sad thing. There's a lot of, I'm using the word teenager because that's where it's prevalent, this whole thing. There are many officially Orthodox people. They keep Shabbos 100%, except they text on Shabbos. It's a big magefa all over the world now. They keep Shabbos completely. There's a word for it. Are you shamer texting or something like that? There's an expression for it today. And they say it's pashit life endangering. If they can't text, it's mamish like saving a life endangering situation. They might, God forbid, not survive the day or so. There's a reality. I can tell you from teachers that teach in the Orthodox schools. This is what's going on. It's very sad to say, but that's what's going on. So they're worshiping that stuff. And we are so unaware of what things we're worshiping. What we think we're worshiping, that the Torah says, why shouldn't God get angry if instead of praying, right, you're on your phone? So in other words, the phone is more important than God. That's what it means. And by the way, you have the same thing. I don't want to get into this. This is another epidemic that's a disaster, and everybody's talking about it, and they're talking to the walls. You know how many people, when the kids talk to them, they're texting, they're looking at their phone, they don't even hear the kids? Are you aware of that? I'm sure. Whoever's a parent knows what I'm talking about. Okay, if you have a parent, you talk to your parent, they're on the phone. And finally, kids say, did you hear what I said? Yeah, what did I say? I don't know. Okay, that means that the phone is more important than your kid. That's mamish idol worshipping. What could be more important than your own kid and you're doing something else? That's called idol worshipping. And really, these are issues when the Torah speaks about all these things that God gets God angry, okay? Like he says, the bottom he says over here, the Jews angered God by worshiping deities have no power of value. Measure for measure, God will let them be defeated, subjugated by nations that have no cultural moral worth. Nations that exist solely to exact retribution against Eden. If the Jews don't put God as number one, then God will say, okay, then you guys are not number one. But it's the consequence, not the punishment, it's the consequences of the behavior of the Jews. And that's what Hashem is saying. Vayar Hashem vayinotz, Hashem will see and be provoked by anger, mikaz banu v'bneisav, by the anger of the sons and the daughters, meaning, by what the Jews are doing to themselves, they're causing the male and the sons and the daughters to be controlled by other people. So what happens then? Well, the one more pasuk. Vayayim Hashem says, "Hastira panayim." If that's the case, God says, "Okay, deed for deed, measure for measure. You don't want me? I'm going to hide from you. I'm going to hide from you." And I'll see, yeah, then you'll see what their end will be. God says, you know what? You don't behave, the consequences, I'm gonna go away. You don't want me, I'll leave. That's what God says. I'll leave. Not after God leaves, God's all over the place. But I'll leave from being, have an open relationship with you, and let's see what happens. There's a Rashi in Chumash that quotes a marshal from the Medrash about the Jews' behavior. There's a kid walking with the father, and the father along the way gives in to the kid. Whatever the kid wants, the father gives him. Then on the way back, the kid got tired, so the father picked him up and put him on his shoulders. To carry him back, the kid was tired. As they're walking, they bump into a friend of the family, and the kid says to the friend, "Hey, did you see my father? I don't know where he is." This is after the father had spoiled. So what did the father do? The Medrash says Rashi and Chumash brings it down. The father puts down the kid, and a wild dog came and bit the kid. says about Amalek, you know, Hashem did everything for the Jews. Northern Jews is just saying, where is God? What's going on over here? Where is God? God said, okay, you want to see what's God? I'll show you where I am. And he got a dog and bit them. That's what Hashem says to the Jewish people. You don't want me. You don't behave. You're worshipping other gods that are worthless instead of me. No problem. God says, I'm not upset with you. I'm going to leave. Let's watch what's going to happen. What's your end result going to be over here? It's going to be... You know, God says, like you're being done over here. God says, I'm going to pretend as if I don't see you. No, I don't, this bottomly omen bum is a whole half an hour discussion by itself.